scripture we read a moment ago together tells a wonderful story. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and we read in other parts of scripture that he set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem and toward the cross. In just a few hours from this story, he'll be sitting at the table in the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, enjoying a meal together. A little while longer, he'll be in the upper room with the disciples, having that Last Supper. Won't be long till he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, perspiring blood as he prays and asks the Lord to be with him. It won't be long before he'll stand before the Sanhedrin and they'll go through a mockery of a trial and find him guilty of the one thing that was true that they said about him. He was the Son of God. It won't be long before the soldiers take that cat of nine tails and rip the skin from his back as they whip him 39 lashes. It won't be long before he hangs on an old rugged cross. So he's on his way to Jerusalem. He passes through Jericho. This will be the last time that he goes through this city. He'll not pass through Jericho again. As he comes into the city, great crowds gather to see him. His fame had spread all over Palestine. This was the man that caused the blind to see. This was the man that caused the deaf to hear. This was the man that could still the storm and tell the wind to be still and the waves to cease their storm. This was the one that could touch the leper and cure leprosy. This was the one that could heal the sick and raise the dead. And everywhere he went, a crowd rushed to be close to him. Everywhere he went, a crowd gathered. Everyone had heard about the miracles. They wanted to see one. And so every place that he went to, every city that he came into, a crowd gathers. On this particular occasion, there's a blind man sitting beside the road. Can't see what's going on, but he can hear. He hears the commotion. He hears the crowd as they rush by. And he asks the question, hey, what's going on? Where's everybody going? Why is this crowd gathering? What's going on? I can't see it, but I hear it, and I know something must be going on. And the people that are around him answer that question. We read it in verse 37 where the Bible says, "And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." Doesn't that phrase have a wonderful ring to it? Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Jesus of Nazareth passes by. That's my title this morning. That's my theme this morning. That's the thought that I want you to keep in your mind this morning. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Notice what happens next. The blind man starts to call out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He began to beg. He began to ask Jesus to give him back his sight. The Bible says that there were some in the crowd that rebuked him. They said, hey, be quiet. He doesn't have time for you. He didn't come here for you. He came here for other reasons. He doesn't have time for an old beggar. He doesn't have time for a blind beggar. Just be quiet. And that just egged him on more. I mean, when they rebuked him, the Bible says that he cried so much the more, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped, and he commands the blind man to come to him. And he says, "What will thou that I shall do unto thee?" He says, "Okay, you called. What do you want? What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." I want to be able to see. I want to be able to look. I want to be able to look into my wife's face and see what she looks like. I want to be able to look at my children and see what they look like. I want to be able to get up in the morning and go out and see what a sunrise looks like. I want to be able to look at the flowers. I want to be able to look at the trees. I want to be able to quit begging. I want to be able to see so I can go out and get a job, so I can work and I can support my family and I can provide for my family. And Jesus said, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee." He not only got his eyes open, he not only got his sight back, he could not only see what was going on this earth, but Jesus said, because of your faith in me, you're also going to get to go to heaven. Your faith has saved you. He not only got a miracle on this earth, he got an eternal miracle because he was going to get to go to heaven and live with Jesus forever. And in verse 43, and immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people that, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. I want you to notice four simple truths this morning from this story. Four simple things that I hope speak to your heart this morning. The first one is this. The blind man would have not come to Jesus had others not come. The blind man would have not cried out, "Have mercy upon me, Jesus, thou son of David." He would have not come and made that cry unless others had come to Christ. You see, he was blind. He couldn't see. He could only hear the beating of their feet as they came to Christ. He didn't know who was in town. He didn't know what was happening. But he could hear that there was a crowd rushing together, and he knew that something was going on, but he didn't know it was Jesus. He didn't know that Jesus of Nazareth had come to Jericho. He did not know when he first heard the crowd that this was his opportunity to be healed. He was blind, and as people began to rush by, as he heard their feet on the ground, as he felt the vibrations as he sat beside the road, he knew there was a big crowd gathering, and he would not have come to Christ unless others were coming before him. I'm going to take you back in time. I'm going to take you back 20 years. I want to illustrate this point. I'm going to take you back 20 years to early 1992. The church was 5 years old, and we were having our fifth anniversary. And one of the young men in our church, I don't think he was a teenager yet. He came up to me on our anniversary Sunday, and he says, "Preacher, I need to get baptized." That little boy was Mac Walworth, Kate's younger son, who's in heaven this morning. One of Helen's grandsons. And Mac came and he said, "Preacher, I need to get baptized. I've been saved. I just need to get baptized." I said, "Okay, Mac." And I talked to him, made sure he was saved. And he had something going, so it was going to be a couple weeks before we could schedule the baptism. And so we set it up. The next week, his older brother, Jerry, came and said, "Preacher, I've been saved. I need to get baptized too." Now, and they both got baptized, same time. I got them both in the tank at the same time. I think, and I looked in my notes last night, we baptized them on March the 22nd, 1992. Now, here's my point. You think Jerry would have come if Mac hadn't? I don't. I think Jerry saw his little brother come and want to follow the Lord in baptism and says, "I want to do that too." That story was precious to me. That event was precious to me because it reminded me of what happened in my life. You've heard my testimony. Before I got saved, I fought the Lord. I mean, I'd stand at the pew during the invitation, and I'd dig my fingernails into the pew, and I'd say, "Not now." I knew I needed to be saved. I knew that I needed Jesus as my Savior. And they would sing, "Just As I Am," without one plea, and I'd hang on like this, and I'd cry, and I'd weep, and I'd argue with God, and I said, "No, not today. I can't go up in front of all these people. You might not believe this, but basically, I'm shy." And I did not want to get in front of people. And they would sing the song, "All to Jesus I Surrender." And I said, "Oh, I know I need to surrender, but I can't do it today. Can't today." And I'd cry and I'd weep and I'd hang on to the pew and I'd say, "God, I can't do it today. I'll do it next time or the next time." And again, you've heard my testimony, but we were having a revival one night. And I was hanging on to the pew. Service ended. Walking out of the church, my pastor said to me as I was walking out, said, "How long are you going to fight God? Don't you think it's about time you got saved?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Come with me." And we went back into his office, and I can remember it just like it was yesterday. We got down on our knees, tile floor in front of a red vinyl couch. And he took me through the Romans Road, and I asked Jesus to be my Savior. Now, he told me, he said, "Now, you know, the first thing you need to do is you need to tell people, you need to make a public profession of your faith in Christ." And so we were having a revival meeting the next night, and it felt so good during the invitation not to have to fight, but to just get up, walk the aisle, go down and profess my faith in Jesus Christ. But you know who was behind me? My younger brother. I mean, I'd never seen him weep in an invitation. I'd never seen him grip the pew and hang on. But when I walked the aisle, he was right behind me. And a few weeks later, we got into the tank together, just like Mac and Jerry did, and we got baptized together. I've often wondered, would my brother have ever gotten saved unless I had come? If I hadn't walked the aisle that night, would he have ever done it? Would he have ever gotten saved? Let me ask you a question this morning. Who might be waiting for you to come to Christ before they come? Who might be waiting for you to walk the aisle and come down that aisle before they walk the aisle? Might be your spouse. Might be one of your children. Might be your parents or a brother or a sister. I know this. Many, many people come to Jesus Christ because somebody has gone before them. Somebody has walked down the aisle and they've looked at that person and they said, "Hey, if my brother can do it, so can I. If my child can do it, so can I. If my parent can do it, so can I." See, this blind man would not have come to Christ unless there was a host of people that was already coming. Now, let me say something else on this one point. Don't worry, all my points are not this long. I got four of them, but the other three are shorter. I think there were people in that crowd that day that were Christians. I think there were people in that crowd that day that rushed to Jesus when they heard him come into Jericho that were already saved, already on their way to heaven, already put their faith in him and trusted him as their Savior. But because they were following him, because they wanted to get closer to him, because they wanted to be where he was, when they came, then this blind beggar who had not met Jesus before, when he heard the Christians that were coming to Christ, he says, "I'm going to come too. I'm going to come too." I've been praying about what our theme should be in 2012, and the Lord seemed to lay on my heart that verse in Matthew 4:19, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And that may be our theme, but next year I don't know yet. But it seems to me that if we can get a whole bunch of people that want to follow Jesus, that rush to where Jesus is, that want to be where he is, there's some lost people that will see it and say, "I don't know what they got, but whatever it is, I want it too. I want it too." And if we can get a whole bunch of Christians that are following Christ, we can probably see some lost people that say, "I need to come too. I need to come too." So this blind man, this lost sinner, would not have come to Christ unless others had come. Number two, I want you to notice, this was the last time that Jesus was going to pass through Jericho. He'd been there several times before. It was on his way to Bethany, where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived. And so he'd passed through Jericho many times before, but this was going to be his last trip. This would be the last time that he would go through this city. The blind man didn't know it, but this was his last chance. If he was going to get his sight, if he was going to be able to see, if he was going to call upon Jesus, it had to be now or never. Because the sight giver was no longer coming through this city. The miracle worker would no more pass through the city of Jericho. It was either today or this beggar would be blind for the rest of his life. Because this was Jesus' last trip. I read, it's been a while ago, that the average person only has about 5 or 6 good chances to get saved. I believe a person can get saved any place. I believe a person can get saved any time. But many, many people won't get saved any place or any time. Many, many people only have a handful of chances to get saved. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." How do we know we're sinners? We know we're sinners because the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We also know because the Holy Spirit of God convicts us of our sin. How do we know we need Jesus? Because the Bible says there's no other way to heaven. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And the Holy Spirit is that still small voice that says, "Jesus is the way. He is the only way." What is it that tugs at our heart? What is it that tugs at our head? What is it that draws us to Christ? It's the Holy Spirit. He woos us to the Savior. And he woos us. And he calls us. And he draws us. But you know what? Every time we say no, every time we refuse the leading of the Holy Spirit to come to Christ, it gets a little harder the next time. A little harder. A little harder. It's like a callus. I mean, you use your hand in a certain way, and you get a blister, and if you keep using it, you get a callus. It gets hard. That's the way our heart gets. We get calluses on our heart, and we keep saying no, 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 no to the Holy Spirit. And if we're not careful, we'll commit what I think the Bible talks about when it talks about the only sin that can't be forgiven, the unpardonable sin. And I believe that sin is rejecting the Holy Spirit as he draws us to Christ. You keep saying no, 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 no. Pretty soon Jesus is going to say, okay. Pretty soon the Holy Spirit's going to say, okay. I'm not going to call you anymore. You've rejected me and rejected me and rejected me and rejected me. I won't bother you anymore. That's why the Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Let me ask you another question. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, what if this is the last time Jesus of Nazareth passed by? What if this is his last time to your life? What if the Holy Spirit's going to say after this morning, no more? I've asked you and asked you and asked you and asked you, and you've rejected me and rejected me and rejected me. I'm not going to bother you. What if it's your last time? What if the life giver is not going to pass by anymore? What if the Savior is not going to offer you the invitation anymore? What if this is the last time? And I know there's some people probably sitting here this morning and say, "Oh, preacher, you ought not to scare people like that. You ought not put that kind of pressure on them." Listen to me. If I can pressure you into asking Jesus to be your Savior and you can walk out of here saved knowing that you're going to heaven, I'll take the criticism. I would rather pressure you to heaven than have you walk out that door and die this week and go to hell. God wants to save you. And this may be the last time that the Spirit comes and says, "You do need to get saved. You do need to ask Jesus to be your Savior." For the blind man, it was his last time. It was the only chance he had. Jesus wasn't coming through Jericho anymore. Please, my dear friend, if you do not know Jesus this morning, don't risk it. You come to him this morning. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can be saved this morning. Quickly, I hastened to point number three. Once the blind man found out that it was Jesus, he didn't let anything stop him from coming to Christ. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Hey, be quiet. Hush up. Shut your mouth. He didn't come for you. He doesn't have time for an old blind beggar. And he said, oh, yes, he does. The blind man said, oh, yes, he does. He came for people like me. And the more, the Bible says, the more they rebuked him, the more he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Let me ask you this morning, what's stopping you from coming to Christ this morning? What's stopping you? Is it your pride? Are you too proud to admit that you're a sinner? You listen to me. I heard Brother Leonard's illustration this morning. I knew he was a bad guy, taking those mattress tags off the mattress. But you listen to me. Is it your pride? There's not a person in this room that if they're not honest, that would not be able to raise their hand and say, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. What's keeping you from coming to Christ? That's what you need. You need a Savior. Is it your family? Oh, I couldn't come. My family would think that I'd done something crazy. My family would think that I'd lost my mind. What's stopping you? What's stopping you from coming to Jesus? The blind man, when he realized who it was, and when he realized what Jesus could do for him, he said, nothing's going to stop me now. I'm going to cry out. I'm going to call him until he helps me. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here this morning and you've never done that, that's exactly what you need to do. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the tongue, confession is made unto him. You call on him, he'll save you. My fourth point is this. When the blind man did that, his life was transformed completely. Not only did he get his sight for this world, but Jesus said, thy faith has saved thee. Not only was his life transformed the rest of his life that he would live on this earth, but he got the assurance of going to heaven and being with Jesus forever. I guarantee you this morning, I guarantee you based on what happened in my life, I guarantee you based on what's happened in scores of people that are here this morning, you ask Jesus to save you, you tell him you're a sinner, you tell him that you understand there's a penalty for that sin and that he paid the price for your sin and you ask him to save you, your life will never be the same. It'll never be the same. I'm not talking about when you get to heaven. I'm talking about now. It'll never, ever be the same. He'll change you. He'll make all things new. And besides that, he'll give you a home in heaven. He'll give an eternity together with him. And so I say to you this morning, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. He passeth by. He's looking for any sinner and listening for any sinner that even would call in a still, small voice, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And if you'll call to him, he'll save you. He'll save you. Change your life. Give you heaven. Would you do that this morning if you're not saved? I don't know how many people here this morning have never asked Jesus to be their Savior. With this many people, there has to be one or two. And I know you might be like me, oh, I can't go up, I can't do that. There's too many people here. I'm shy. You don't have to walk the aisle to be saved. You can do it right where you sat. In just a second, I'm going to have you bow your heads. You can, when we bow our heads, you can say a prayer, something like this. Doesn't have to be exact words, but something like this. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe that old preacher when he says there's a penalty for that sin. And I also believe him in the Bible when it says that you paid the price for my sin. And right now I'm asking you to save me. If you'll do that, he will save you. He'll save you. He'll save you. And then to all the Christians that are here, I know most of us are Christians. The vast majority of us have already asked Jesus to be our Savior. Let's get closer to him. Let's follow him. Let's want to be where he is. Let's want to get in his will so that we won't be in his way. Because I believe when the world sees a bunch of Christians that are following Christ, that want to be close to him, they'll say, hey, I want some of that too. I want what they got. I want their Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the stories of people just like us. This old blind beggar was a real person just like us. And Father, I thank you for the story of when Jesus passed through Jericho and that old blind beggar called out and Jesus healed him and saved him. I pray for those that are here this morning that are lost like him, that need a Savior like him, that are not physically blind but are spiritually blind. And I pray, Jesus, that we could feel your presence this morning. We can know you're passing by, and every single one that doesn't know you would do what that old beggar did. Jesus, 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 have mercy on me. Have mercy. Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. I pray that we'd want to be closer to you, that we'd want to follow you. Help us to follow you, Christ. You promised, if you'll follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Help us to follow you. And so, Father, I pray for this time of invitation. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus and needs some help making that decision, help them to come. We'll take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to save them. If they've prayed that prayer and asked Jesus to save them, help them to come so that we can rejoice with them that they've made that decision. And then, Father, speak to Christians' hearts. If there's Christians here that need to get baptized or join the church or do something else, just help us to be obedient to your will. Bless this time of invitation, please, Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.